A quick disclaimer before we begin our sermon. You've seen commercials for diet loss pills, things where somebody takes a pill and they give a testimony about taking this pill and they've lost 150 pounds in 4 weeks and it's just been the most amazing thing. Or you've seen maybe commercials for hair regrowth and they show this guy that has no hair and he takes this treatment and all of a sudden he's got a mop of hair that is just fantastic. But at the end of those commercials, you always hear this little disclaimer that says, individual results may vary, which means that you, at your best case scenario, might lose that 150 pounds or you'll lose 5 pounds in 10 weeks. Individual results for every person. And just keep that in mind as we go through this gospel text. Our gospel begins with Jesus coming back from the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee back to the Jewish side. And as soon as he gets off the boat, he is pressed in by a great crowd of people. This crowd of people, they've heard him preach and they've heard things about him, the miracles that he's done, and they want to be next to Jesus, whether it's to hear him preach or to receive their own miracle or just to see something amazing. They press in about him, and it is a swarm of people. Earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus avoided the swarm by preaching from a boat so that the crowd wouldn't press in on him. Here he doesn't do that. Here he gets on the shore right with all the people. And in the midst of this crowd, there's a man named Jairus who sees Jesus, and he comes to Jesus with his most desperate hour. Jairus's 12-year-old little girl is on her deathbed, and she has moments, hours, not long to live. We can assume that Jairus has tried everything he possibly could to make his little girl better, but he is at his end. He asks those questions, what do I do now? Where do I go? What can I possibly do? He sees Jesus, and he comes to him. And he falls on his feet before Jesus. And he begs repeatedly before the Lord. And he invites Jesus to come to his home and says, come, lay your hands on my little girl. Lay your hands on my daughter that she may be made well, might be saved. And the beautiful thing about this passage is that amongst this great crowd that is around Jesus, pressing in on him, Jesus looks directly at Jairus, and he is for him. He comes personally, and he leaves with this crowd to go to Jairus' home so that he might do something for his daughter. And as they're walking to go to Jairus' house, and this crowd continues to press in on him, we hear of another person who is in a desperate situation at their end, where there's nowhere else they can turn to except to go to Jesus. And this woman hears about Jesus, and she goes to him. She's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, bleeding in a way where she's ostracized from the rest of her community. She's in a way no longer a part of the faithful people because she can't even worship with everyone else. She's on her own. There's nothing she can partake in anymore. In fact, she's been made poor by this illness. She's tried everything, every kind of treatment out there. Nothing is working. In fact, Mark tells us that everything, she's gotten worse during these 12 years. And so she comes shyly, she comes inconspicuously behind Christ, sneaks up to him and says to herself, if I could just touch the robes of this man, I will be made well, I will be saved, and I'll be healed. And so she does. She works her way through the crowd and touches Christ's robes. And Mark tells us immediately she was healed. And Mark also tells us that Jesus also immediately knew that power had gone out from him, and he stops the entire crowd. He stops Jairus on his way to Jairus' house, and he looks for the person who touched him. He knows someone came personally and purposely to see him. They have faith to touch him and to be healed, and he wants to know who it was. The disciples, they don't get this because Jesus wants to know who touched him, and they're like, well, Jesus, everyone's around you. Everybody's touching you. But Jesus wants to find out. And the woman comes before Christ. She's afraid. She trembles because she knows she's been healed, but she also knows that she maybe crossed some line that she wasn't supposed to cross. And amongst this great crowd, Jesus speaks personally to the woman. He addresses her as daughter, which is to say, a daughter, child of God, person of faith, person of this faith community. Daughter, your faith made you well. Your faith saved you. Go in peace. Go in the peace of knowing that God has done something for you, for faith in me. Be healed of your disease. Jesus is for this woman. He has come personally to her amongst this great crowd. And while she is receiving this great news of peace that she has waited for 12 years, Jairus hears the exact opposite. While she receives peace, he receives news that his daughter has in fact died. And you got to be thinking, Jesus, maybe if we didn't stop for this woman, or if this crowd wasn't in our way, we could have got there in time. But as he hears these words, Jesus overhears, and he turns to Jairus and says, hey, don't be afraid. Just believe. And they continue on to Jairus' house. Jesus dismisses the crowd that is there, that is weeping and wailing and mourning for the loss of this little girl. He dismisses most of his disciples as well. Only Jairus and the daughter, the daughter's mother, and three disciples are there. This miracle that he's going to do isn't for the crowd. It isn't for publicity. It is for Jairus, for his wife, for this little girl. He goes to her, he touches her, calls out to her to rise, and she does. Jesus was for Jairus, he was for the woman, even as the crowd pressed in. He is a personal Lord to those who need him. There are times in our lives where we feel like Jairus, where we feel like the woman, where our situation feels so desperate. We call out to the Lord and we just come to this point where we say, what more can I do? Where can I go? What do we do now? And this text tells us two things, maybe three. First, it tells us that Jesus loves to come personally into the lives of people, to work in their lives, especially when it looks like no one else can help. Jesus, as he was for Jairus, as he was for the woman, he is for you. It also tells us that Jesus can do the miraculous. He can heal the woman. He can bring life to the dead. Jesus can do the miraculous. But as I said before, there's something we need to keep in mind when we read passages like this, and that's that disclaimer, that individual results may vary. Because it's clear, and we have to come to terms with this, we don't all get the miracle that we want or that we see in Scripture. There's a reality there. Jesus can do it, but for some reason and in his mysterious way, just as we for some reason have to wait patiently on the Lord for him to do what he wants to do, for some reason too, Jesus doesn't always give us the miracle we want. But what Jesus does always do is that which he gave to the woman and to Jairus and his family, which is the peace of God. The peace of knowing that Christ is there for you. And this morning we get to receive that in the most beautiful way that Scripture has for us, which is in the body and blood of Christ. The body which is given for you. The blood which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sin, which is the most peaceful thing we can ever receive. So that even if we don't receive our miracle, we can know that Christ is still there for us. And that though we may go through our veil of tears, that the Lord will see us through. And in the end, bring us into his kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, give us faith, as Jairus had faith, as the woman had faith, to know that you are there to save. Help us also, O Lord, as the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations said, to wait patiently on you, to wait and to trust in your ways and in your knowledge, which is far greater than our own. In our troubles, our trials, help us to grow in faith in you, to know that you are there for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.